Rest of us, we can turn to chapter 17 in the book of Acts. How many of y'all heard of Jesus? Okay, if you haven't heard of Jesus, we're going to lunch after church. All right. How many of you ever had a life-changing experience? Small or big or in between, right? I think most of us has been around the block a few times. Any of us that are older than being a teenager, right? You go from being a child to a teenager. That's life-changing. You think about it, you know, in a lot of ways. And some handle it and some don't. It's just a big mess, isn't it, when you become a teenager? And then it's a big mess when you become an adult. And then you've been an adult for a while and you start looking at around in your middle age, and then that becomes a big situation, right? Those seem like trivial things after a while, if you think about it, compared to things in the world that happen, like the pandemic, for example. It's the first time in my lifetime that I had ever experienced anything that I would describe as, I thought there was something else, but this here has really turned the world upside down, didn't it? The pandemic and everything that comes with it, everything that was around it, all of the problems and all of the stress and all of the unknowns. Previous to that, I thought what happened on 9/11 had turned the world upside down, at least turned our world upside down here in America. And then you keep going back. You just keep looking back on the calendar, and you got different events that turned the world upside down, or at least turned your world upside down. There were plenty of wars to look at, plenty of people who maybe had plans for their life or had a great life going, and suddenly life happened and nothing's the same, right? And then there's personal events that happen to all of us, and it changes our lives forever, doesn't it? Good and bad. You know, we lose loved ones, and it turns our world upside down. Some people... I know it's none of y'all, but some people win the lottery and it turns their world upside down in good ways and bad ways. Some people win awards, or some people become successful in their business, in their job, and it changes their world. But you know, as disciple makers, as people who are believers, who are to be going into the world and making disciples, I wonder if we ever look at the task as just that. We are about the business of making disciples, of changing lives. We are working together with the rest of the body of Christ in an effort to continue to turn the world upside down for Christ. Y'all ever think about it in that big grand thought, in that big picture? And that seems like that's a pretty heavy thing to think about, isn't it? Who are we to turn the world upside down, right? I mean, it doesn't take much to turn the world upside down, does it? How many of y'all, I don't remember, but how many of y'all remembered when Elvis died? Isn't that a crazy thing to turn the world upside down? But it certainly did, didn't it? It's little things sometimes. But y'all know, if you're saved, you already know. If you read your Bible, you already know that there's only been one who has really turned the world upside down. In a big way, in a permanent way, in an everlasting way, and that's Jesus. And you and I, who are believers, those of us who are saved, we carry the message of Christ to the world. And it is just as powerful today as it was the day Jesus came out of the grave. It's just as powerful today as it was when the Spirit of God came on the disciples in Acts chapter 2, and thousands of people heard the gospel and their worlds were turned upside down. And the ripple effect from then on continues. When you got saved, when you said, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus, your world got turned upside down. I know mine did, because I had it going on, man. I was doing whatever I wanted to do. And then I met Jesus and it all changed. I thought it was against my will at first, but it turns out that my will was being changed into his will, so it really isn't against my will. Because that's not how the Lord works. And it was deeper than I thought when my world got turned upside down. I want to read chapter 17, verse 1 to 9 in the book of Acts, because if we just read this and start thinking about who we are as believers and who we are as a church family, here in this little bitty dot on the planet, and we think about who we are and what that means for the world and for the kingdom of God, and what our role is in turning the world upside down, I think we might get excited, right? And I think that we might have reason to praise the Lord. Verse 1, I'm just going to read, well, I'll click through it. Let's read through it. Chapter 17, verse 1. Uh-oh. Clicker's not working. You're going to have to switch it for me, please. Verse 1 says, now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. This is Paul and Silas and some others. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them for three Sabbaths, reasoning with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. Verse 4, and some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. But, verse 5, the Jews becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. And attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, these men who have upset the world have come here also. Verse 7 says, And Jason has welcomed them, and they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. And then finally in verse 8 and 9, they stirred up the crowd, and the city authorities who heard these things, and when they had received a pledge from Jason and the others, they released them. Just one small snapshot of a situation in the history of the church found in the book of Acts, and we see something totally amazing. That's true about the church. That's true about the gospel. That's true about the believers, the disciple makers. Paul and his partners in ministry are traveling around the world. They end up in Thessalonica. They go into the synagogue, as they always do, and they read from the Scriptures and simply say that this Jesus is the Christ. All right, that's as simple as it is. Get in the habit of going into the world. In our world, we don't need to go to the synagogue. We just go into the world. And we preach that Jesus is the Christ. This Jesus that most people know about, some people may not. We just say, hey, there's this guy named Jesus. And he's Lord. And he died for your sins. That's all they do, is walk around the planet saying those things. And the results are typical, and yet they're amazing. Because the results were that some believed and joined Paul and the others in the faith. And others not only rejected the truth and the teaching, but became hostile, became angry and jealous, and got violent, and were searching for these men to persecute them in some pretty bad ways, I'm sure. But I want to look at this verse where it says the accusation. Verse 6. It says, when they didn't find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren before the city authorities. And the accusation was this: these men who have upset the world have come here. We all like to be comfortable, don't we? I like to be comfortable. I really do. If you say that you don't like to be comfortable, I'm going to have a hard time believing that. Everybody likes to be comfortable. That's why we have the furniture that we have in our house. That's why we have the office chairs that we have in our offices, if we have a choice, because we want to be comfortable. Everything in our lives that that are personal to us, if we have a say, we choose things that are the most comfortable. And it's not wrong to do that. I'm just telling you, there's plenty of evidence that shows that we like to be comfortable. Here's the rub. Preaching the gospel and being a witness for the kingdom in the world, even from then until now, is not comfortable. It should not be comfortable. It's not going to be comfortable. And people reject the truth about Jesus because it makes them uncomfortable. Because it turns their world upside down. It interferes with the way that they have things going in their life. It means that they have to change the way that they think, the way that they react and act and believe. And many are challenged by that and threatened by that. That's the nature of making disciples. That's what it is. Jesus taught that many times over. They will hate you because they hate me. Things will not be easy. You will suffer for the gospel. Paul taught many times, I have suffered in many ways, and went on to list those ways. Paul should have been dead at least 3 or 4 times. Because he suffered for the gospel. He suffered for preaching Christ. And I think that it is not sinful to enjoy comfort as God allows it, but not at the cost of our mission. You know, not at the cost of being safe with our friends and neighbors in the community. Because it's not comfortable when someone rejects your message. It's not comfortable when someone rejects the love that you have for them, when you love them enough to tell them about Jesus, when you love them enough to try to help them understand what sin is and how things can be different and how we all need this Jesus, right? It's not comfortable to talk about those things because we know that the majority of the people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it because they know it's uncomfortable. And they know that if they give into it and receive the gospel, they receive Christ, it will turn their life upside down. It will turn their whole world upside down. But we have to understand that that is the goal. That is the mission, to go into the world and turn it upside down. Good news, y'all. Good news. Because there's nothing I can do, and there's nothing you could do, and there's nothing all of us together could ever do to go into the world and turn it upside down. It's not possible. All we're doing is telling the world how Jesus turned the world upside down. Jesus is the one. Jesus and his work on the cross, Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sin is what turned the world upside down. Some will accept it and some will reject it, but we all need it. This is a bold way of living, isn't it? You want to be bold for Christ? You want to be a bold Christian? You want to be a believer who's out there being bold in your faith? This is how you do it. You go into the world and you just tell people about Jesus. And it's almost automatic that you will be accused of ruining someone's life. and from their perspective, obviously. They're going to say, "Well, I don't want Jesus. I don't like the way that is. I don't like the way that means. I like things the way they are. I don't want to be saved." 9 or 10 times out of 10, it's because they don't understand. They don't truly understand the condition. They don't truly understand the issue. They don't truly understand that their world is already upside down and Jesus makes it right. You see, we all know that. We all say amen and we all agree and we praise the Lord for it. Especially if we're able to compare the way we were living before Jesus to the way we are living now after we give our life to Christ, and then we start thanking God. We start praising his name because he changed my world, because he changed your world. I think we have an amazing church. I think we have an amazing church family here. And I will say that to any person on the planet, because it's true. I think that God will use this church to change the lives of any and all who will listen and receive this truth. And I feel like everybody here is willing to go and make disciples if the Lord would just lead us on. And I also think many of us here, if not all of us, are kind of scared to death about that. And if you think you're not scared to death about it, then you're not hearing what I'm saying. Because you're going into the world and you're preaching the gospel. You're going into the world and you're loving people in the name of Jesus. You're going into the world and you're saying, hey, Jesus wants to change your world. And you know as well as I do that most people are going to say, well, I don't need my world changed. What's wrong with my world? Who are you to say there's something wrong with my world? And then you got friction. And each time I read, whether it's the book of Acts or any other place in the Bible, where believers are preaching the gospel, each time it says some believed and some didn't. Each time it says some received the truth and some didn't. And it almost always says that the ones who didn't attacked. The ones who didn't got hostile and got serious about the persecution that they were inflicting on the believers, those ones who are turning the world upside down. Can you imagine being dragged into court in today's world and some attorney holds you up by the collar and before a judge and say, hey, this guy right here, he's turned the world upside down. Can you imagine that? But that's what happened to them, isn't it? And if that ever happened to any of us, would we be just standing there going, yeah, I did that? Is that what would be our response? Well, I said that, but it really, I mean, if you think about how Paul does that and Peter and all the rest of them, every time they got dragged into court, they would get charged with something, and they're saying, no, we're just telling you about Jesus. Jesus is the one changing your life. Jesus is the one challenging your life. We're not doing anything. It's Jesus. And then they'd smack them on the wrist or give them their lashings, and they tell them, stop talking about that Jesus, and wag their Pharisaical finger in their face. And they're like, let's see, listen to you or listen to God? Yeah, we'll keep talking about Jesus. We'll listen to God. In the face of hardship, in the face of uncomfortable situations, these believers that we can read about in the history of our church continued to preach the gospel, continued to allow Jesus to turn the world upside down. Do y'all believe that Jesus is still turning the world upside down? He's still at work doing that? And I'm certain that he wants to use the believers here at Oak Grove Christian Church in Arden, North Carolina, to participate in that. I'm certain about it. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing and what he's planning to do. I'm excited about the future of our congregation and the future of this community and how we interact with them. I have no doubt that God is working here for the sake of the lost in this community. We got a lot of questions. I know that. We got a lot of how questions, when questions about what God's doing. But I'm certain that God is working his plan. And I'm certain that there are a lot of folks right here around us, all around where we live, in our homes, our neighbors, that God wants to turn their world upside down. Because the reality is, their world is already upside down, and he wants to make it right. And he does it through Jesus. He does it through the gospel. And the tools that he uses is me and you. Oak Grove Christian Church. And every other church that believes that Jesus is the Christ. Every other congregation around the world that is out in the world making disciples. We have one of our very own missionaries that we support on house arrest right now. All because he and his partner, workers, preach the gospel. And there's great persecution going on. It's a lot of stress. And here's one thing I've noticed about this particular missionary. I've never read or seen or heard of any time that these, him or any of his family, have ever apologized for doing the work to anybody. They're actually hoping that they can get past this so they can continue to do the work in a place that doesn't receive this truth. I'm gonna finish this up. I know y'all are like, what? He's finishing up? This is what I believe about Oak Grove Christian Church, y'all. It's what I believe. I believe that God loves Oak Grove Christian Church. No doubt in my mind. I believe that God has always been and will continue to be faithful to Oak Grove Christian Church. I also believe that Oak Grove Christian Church, the family here, we love God. I believe that with all my heart. I have no doubt whatsoever about that. We love the Lord. I also believe that Oak Grove Christian Church loves people. I've seen that ever since I've been involved with y'all. I was writing that down, thinking about all this, and I had to put a little asterisk there because I don't want to get carried away and say, like, we've mastered loving people. It's a work in progress, isn't it? We're trying. We're working hard, aren't we? We try hard to love people. And God help us when we need improvement. But I don't think the Lord will complain because y'all are awesome at loving people. I've seen it a bunch of times. And I've learned from it, by the way, since I've been with y'all. I also know that Oak Grove is in a position to turn the world upside down. Just right now, where the Lord has brought us from 100 years ago, all the people that have come and gone and all the workers that have been involved, everything that God has done from the time that the church began until right now, we're in a position to let God turn the world upside down. Continue to do that. We're in a position to join in what the kingdom of God is doing in this world. Not because it's what I want or because it's what you want, but it's because it's what God wants for Oak Grove. God would love nothing more than for the people in this family to go into the world just as we just read in Acts chapter 17 and just simply say, God loves you and Jesus died for you. And let what happens happen for the glory of God. And we would see, I'm 100% confident we would see Jesus turn people's worlds upside down. If we could just continue to go and do it, get uncomfortable, get out of our comfort zone for the sake of someone else's soul and for the glory of God, and just go. Every chance we get, bring it up. Every opportunity we have, love somebody in the name of Jesus. Not because I want the church to grow, but because God wants people's lives to be changed. That's what Jesus went to the cross for, so people's lives could be changed. Because when Adam and Eve sinned against God, the world got turned upside down from what God created. And when Jesus went to the cross and died and was buried and then resurrected, and his spirit came at Pentecost, he turned it right back up, right side up. So here's the question and here's the challenge. Don't switch that last slide just yet. There's a slide in there somewhere. All right. I want to know, do you believe these things about Oak Grove? Do you really believe those things I just named off? Because here's the big idea for this morning. If we believe that God intends to use this church family to turn the world upside down, then we should prepare to go out in the world and boldly proclaim the gospel. however which way the Lord presents opportunity, and expect it to have the same effect right here in Arden. Expect it to have the same effect in Fletcher, in Skyland, all the way up to Asheville. That's right, Asheville. I already know, y'all. I already know. Hendersonville, all the way down, all the way around, wherever the Lord takes us. The witness is that we know Jesus. And the testimony is, here's how he changed my life. Here's how he turned my world upside down. And he can do the same for you. And let what happen, let whatever happens happen. We're going to pray. The challenge is that we pray that God will turn the world upside down, and we would be committed to that work. Now you can put that last slide up there, because I want to ask y'all something, if you even know this. Y'all know what September 2nd, 2018, what happened on that day? I mean, it's up there on the screen, y'all to know. 6 years ago, this weekend, y'all, the Lord brought me and my wife over here to serve with y'all and be a part of y'all's family. And I'm not saying that for y'all to say anything about us. I'm saying that because a lot of things have happened in 6 years. And 6 years went by like I went to sleep and woke up and I'm like, wait a minute, what happened? You know? But people's lives were changed. A lot of ups and downs. A lot of baptisms have happened. A lot of people have passed away. A lot of people have moved away. A lot of people have come and joined the family. You see the Lord at work. You have to see it. I want you to be able to realize that 6 years ain't a very long time, but at the same time, it seems like a long time that happened really fast. Especially when there's a pandemic right in the middle of it that seemed to last forever. I mean, just, I'm talking like 2 days of not being around people. I'm just like, oh yeah, this got to be over with soon, because I'm not having it. That's me personally, right? But here we are, y'all. Here we are. And the Lord is working. There are things happening that we don't even see. There are things going on that we don't all know about yet, because the Lord hasn't revealed it. There are people that are out here looking for truth, and they haven't found it. And I believe it's because they haven't met any of us yet. Or they haven't met some other church that is doing the work. And all it takes is for us to take a moment and make sure that Jesus is oozing out of us in front of people. You see? That's all it takes. It's all it takes is for us to be willing and have this burning desire to let Jesus change people's lives. And who cares if anybody knows that I had a part in that? Or that you had a part in that? It's great. It's awesome to know that the church is doing well. And it's awesome to see people come in here, give their life to Christ, repent, get baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, start living for Christ and making disciples. It's awesome to watch that and be a part of it. But, you know, some people have come here in the last 6 years and stayed for a little while, and then they moved away to another state somewhere. And whatever they're doing for the Lord is partly because of whatever God did with them while they were here. You see, so we don't always get to see the work that God is doing to change people's lives. Right? Some people already know the Lord, and they're either in a dark place, or they're distracted, or maybe they're off in a sinful place, and the church needs to go and be a blessing to them and minister to them some and try to get them back on the path that God wants them to be on. The kingdom of God has been doing the work and continues to do the work. Right? And my initial statement was going to be that since Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, he's been changing the world. Then I thought about John 1:1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So it's like, no, since the beginning of creation, God has been changing his creation, has been doing this work. The entire Bible is about how God is doing this work. And if you're a believer, if we are believers, if we're a family of godly people in Christ, then we get to be a part of changing people's lives and turning the world upside down. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? That's crazy, y'all. That's crazy. And as far as me and my wife are concerned, who knows how many more years the Lord's going to let us roam around the world preaching the gospel with y'all. Right? I'm looking forward to it. Because good things are going to happen in people's lives. And here's what we don't know. Here's what we're always looking at, how are we going to change somebody else's life? Well, as we get involved with people's lives, sometimes we sit back and say, the Lord's been turning my world upside down in the middle of all this. He's always working on us when we're doing those kinds of things, when we're out in the world. So let's just go together and be the church. I love you, and the Lord loves you. Let's see what the Lord does in the coming years together. Should the Lord tarry? Let's stand together and we'll sing. If you don't know the Lord, if you're not saved, now's the time for your world to be changed.